The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
NFL.com, and really one of the most plugged-in people in the SEC. His insider column comes out every Thursday, and if you're a aficionado like me, you want to grab everything that John is hearing. John, first of all, great to have you with us. Let's start with Alabama and Auburn, because that is closest to home there. I know you covered the Alabama game the other night, and you're plugged into Auburn. Just, I mean, it's almost cliche to ask you where Alabama is right now after that big Ole Miss win, but it's just amazing to think how far along they are and how lame this game seems to be in College Station Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, I think before the season started, you know, I had it as one of my top three SEC games of the season, just because, you know, Texas A&M felt like the team that could really challenge Alabama this year. We knew they were going to have a strong defense coming off a big year last year in which they just barely missed the playoff. And, of course, you know, they just have not come even close to meeting those expectations this year, you know, losing to Arkansas and then Mississippi State last weekend. And so, I mean, unfortunately, I don't think there's a ton of, you know, hype around this game. I don't, you know, want to get in trouble with any Texas A&M people now, as I did a couple weeks ago, by saying there's not a lot of hype around the game. But I just don't sense it, in part because of what they've done the last couple weeks. Yeah,
beware, Alabama. Buddy Martin could be watching right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry to anybody who might be offended by this, but just in general, you know, Alabama is so far and away, I think, everybody else in the SEC West right now, and I think they certainly proved that in how easily they beat up on an Ole Miss team that, you know, was looking pretty strong coming into that game. So, you know, it's a late game. I'm sure there'll be a strong crowd at College Station, but I mean, Alabama is just cruising right now. And even before this past weekend, which Alabama looked very good and Texas A&M did not, I still did not think Texas A&M would have the offense to keep up with Alabama, and I think that was just even further proven by what we saw on Saturday.
John, it's I was breathless last week watching the situation with Brian Harsin, you know, the changes that were being made, and then to see what they accomplished. Give us your assessment of Auburn right now and what's ahead.
Yeah, I saw Bo Nix is now selling T-shirts of that play, wild play he had, which is, you know, kind of emblematic of the new era that we live in, that players can do that. But, I mean, I think that was a game that felt really important for both sides, and that, you know, Auburn had a real kind of, you know, up and down, really more down week than anything, you know, getting rid of a wide receivers coach only four games in, you know, benching Bo Nix against Georgia State, barely beating Georgia State. And this felt like, you know, after losing to Penn State, a loss to LSU with everything that was to come, you know, was going to turn this into, you know, a not good season for Brian Harsin in year one, which was, of course, you know, I think noteworthy for a lot of reasons, including for ones that, you know, and that, like, he was not the choice of some powerful people down in Auburn. And so, you know, starting off bad year one, I think could have created some problems down the line. Instead, I think they've created more problems for Ed Orgeron, who was another guy who I think, you know, needed a win like that. They had a 20-year home win streak over Auburn, as everybody knows, and to lose the way that they did, just, you know, not able to do the things offensively that people expected them to do, making some mistakes late. I mean, it felt like a game that LSU really should have had, and instead they lost it. And I think the same issues that were potentially there of Auburn are going to be there of LSU, just that there's a lot of games still on the schedule that look like losses right now, and I think the more losses that stack up is going to create some problems for Orgeron.
Which leads to the question that is unavoidable: what is the number, or is there a number, John, that he needs to get to avoid his seat getting steamier?
I don't know if there's a specific number, but I mean, let's backtrack for a second, Paul. I feel like you and I have been talking about Ed potentially being in troubled waters for probably at least a year now, maybe a little less than a year, but certainly all offseason, this was one to watch, you know, just based on all the bad offseason headlines, the fact that, you know, they had a new AD in Scott Woodward who did not hire Orgeron, which, you know, can always lead to some challenges, and just the fact that, you know, had a bad year last year, and, you know, you had some questions about whether they're going to be good enough this year. You know, so far what we've seen is that they have not made significant improvements. losing to UCLA was bad. I wrote about it at the time. Losing to Auburn is potentially bad. And I think there's going to be more losses down the line. So I think Ogeron's going to have to show something. Now, whether that's a certain amount of wins, I don't think anybody can necessarily know that outside of maybe Scott Woodward. But I think that he's going to have to show positive momentum, positive things that are happening within that team, and not just kind of limping to the finish line. Because, you know, Scott Woodward, as other people I think I've written this week, has a reputation as someone who likes to, you know, whip his checkbook around and hire a big name for a lot of money. He's done it at pretty much every stop that he's had, including recently at LSU, to hire a women's basketball coach. So I don't think he's going to be scared off by the big buyout numbers. I don't think he's going to be scared off by, you know, having to spend a lot of money to get a new coach. And so Ogeron, you know, he's in potentially troubled waters here. Not potentially, he is in troubled waters here. And, you know, if he doesn't turn things around, that pressure to make a change is just going to increase.
John, it looks like it's over for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, and we don't need to debate how stupid he is and really you know, how disingenuous he is. I think we've already settled that conversation. But my question, and people keep bringing this up, is there a path for him back to a good job in college football? You know athletic directors better than anyone in this industry. Explain what you think they're going to start saying here in a couple of weeks about Urban Meyer, who we all know is not going to make it in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's already been pretty ugly there. And I think, I mean, I'm not shocked that it has been as bad as it's already been, though, you know, certainly the things of the last couple of days was a bit surprising. So, you know, I think the question is always going to be, you know, how desperate is someone to win? How desperate is an AD to win? I mean, there are guys that are going to be talked about. I mean, Bobby Petrino has gotten numerous jobs since he's flamed out everywhere. You know, I think you and I both believe that Hugh Freeze is going to get a big job again one day. And so there are people that have had issues both as, you know, coaches and also certainly in their personal lives that have found ways to get jobs that maybe we thought they shouldn't. And usually it comes down to someone being desperate enough to win. Now, do I think he's going to go straight from being the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach this year to a big name college head coaching job, you know, at the end of this year or something like that? That feels very extreme to me and unlikely given, you know, if you look at what he's done over the last few years, you know, from all the Ohio State issues to now what's happening in Jacksonville, I think that would be a tough situation. You know, certainly USC is already open. You know, we're talking about LSU potentially being open. I don't see either one of those jobs going to somebody like Urban. And I think, and then at some point, as you work your way kind of down the totem pole, it's, you know, at what point does, you know, Urban's ego not want to take some of those jobs that might be available to him, and he just tries, you know, to slide into it, you know, whether it's back into TV or just, you know, counts his money and, you know, just retires. But I think that all the talk of Urban potentially going to USC is not likely, not going to happen. And I think, you know, anybody that, you know, were to hire him in the next year or two is going to have to justify to their president or chancellor why this guy with, you know, while all the winning he has comes with a lot of baggage too. And that's something that, you know, somebody at the highest level is going to have to be okay with. And, you know, people that are academics first are not always going to be okay with taking the risk on a guy like Urban, even with the winning that he brings.
Yeah, I agree with you on USC. Knowing what I do about that president out there, and I'm not sure she wanted him last year. And that was before he decided to take on a second job never mind. I don't want to complete that joke here on a family radio and television show. John, so let me ask you this. In terms of those names out there, regardless of where the opening is, whether it's the schools you just got through mentioning or SC or jobs that will open a couple of months from now, who are the hot, trendy coaches right now?
Yeah, that's a good question, Paul. I feel like there's not as many. I feel like some of the obvious names that we talked about at the beginning of the year haven't necessarily done things to boost them up. Now, sure, people like Matt Campbell are still going to be popular names, but, you know, it's not like Ohio State's having a great year. You know, Billy Napier was a name that I think a lot of us thought would, you know, be ready for another big job soon. Was obviously up for multiple jobs over the last 2 years from Auburn, Mississippi State, you know, could have had those jobs if he really wanted them. You know, I don't think Louisiana is having the greatest year either. So if you think of some of the really big names, I think who are still having strong years and are improving their stakes, you know, I think last time I was on your show, talked about James Franklin, you know, potentially USC. I think he's going to be a hot name, someone who's a proven recruiter. And I think has had a strong bounce back year so far. You know, had a disappointing year last season. I think there were some questions about, you know, maybe what's his future. But I think he's proven himself so far to, you know, be pretty strong. They've got some big games down the line. But I think James Franklin's a guy who's getting more buzz, you know, this year. But I think that, you know, again, we're, what, five or so games into the season. I think there's still time for guys to, you know, bump up their status or, you know, possibly drop down. But I think, again, some of the names that we, you know, everybody had on their list, that these guys are going to get a big job soon, I don't think they've necessarily helped their status so far this season.
You mentioned Hugh Freeze earlier, and I mean, it took him years to finally get that head coaching job, and you know, he's done a remarkable job at Liberty. But is it any safer to hire him at a major Power Five school now?
You know, I think as time goes on, you know, I think sometimes it makes it a little easier to forget about, you know, what happened. But again, I think it's, you know, Liberty was a unique situation. You know, certainly the person who hired him is no longer there and had a pretty massive public flame out in terms of, you know, all the things he was doing in his personal life. So I think that there's, you know, it's going to take the right kind of president and AD that are maybe willing to take a chance, that are willing to accept what's going to certainly be some initial negative backlash to hiring him and, you know, a kind of regurgitation of all the problems that he had at Ole Miss. So, you know, I think when you and I have talked in the past, there's a feeling that, you know, one day Hugh probably ends up back in the SEC. You know, it'll be interesting, you know, where that might be. You know, LSU would be interesting. I don't sense that that's something that could happen at this point if it were to open up. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, where he gets pushed to by his representatives and also just who might be willing to take a chance on him. But I think there are certain places that, you know, for sure are just automatically he's not going to be on their list. A program that, again, is maybe a bit more desperate to get back to winning ways. You know Freeze is going to win. You know he's going to have an exciting offense. And for someone, that'll be enough. It's just going to be interesting to see, you know, which AD is willing to take that big swing.
And not to harp on Hugh Freeze, but he, you know, to people sitting out in the audience, he almost seems obvious how good he is and what he's accomplished. But you know that there are things that are causing AD's heartache and consternation. Other than someone being desperate, and you mentioned that a minute ago, and a lot of ADs are desperate at some point. Do you see the top tier jobs? I mean, do you still see those top tier ADs just shaking their head going, I can't touch this guy?
Yeah, I think at this point, you know, I think it could take him, you know, maybe even one more job before he were to be available to kind of those bigger things. I mean, if you think about some of the, I mean, let's use Auburn as an example last year. You know, there were some people that were pushing Hugh Freeze for that job, but he had no shot at getting that job. You know, there were just too many important people at Auburn that were not going to hire Hugh Freeze. And I mean, look at Auburn. That's a place that has shown a strong desire to win. And they forced out a guy and spent $21+ million who had beaten Nick Saban multiple times because he wasn't winning enough. And Hugh Freeze, out of all the options they had, was probably the one who might have been the surest bet to win and do well, given the success he had previously had against Nick Saban while he was at Ole Miss. And so, you know, I think that's a good maybe barometer as to last year when those kind of bigger jobs opened up, you know, Freeze was not really in the mix on them. So this year, again, I don't see it being USC. We'll see what other jobs open up. You know, I think Jim Harbaugh seems like he's kind of solidified himself as Michigan. People thought that might open up. Same thing with Scott Frost at Nebraska. We'll see what happens there. But when we've talked about the big jobs that could open up, you know, LSU, Michigan, Nebraska, USC, outside of LSU, which again, I don't think is likely, I don't see any of those big time programs being, you know, seriously interested in Freeze. So I think his reform tour, working to get back into the mix is still going to take some more time.
Fantastic conversation with John Talty of AL.com. John, great to have you on. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you.
He's the best at giving us the insider conversation, and there's a lot of that going on. And And, you know, who knows where these job openings are going to be. Right now, we only know about one, but it is early October. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back. What a segment with John, and now more calls. And Guppy is up next.
Yes. Paul, I'm on the phone.
Well, good. Guppy, you're on the air.
Paul, there was an earlier caller talking about the Georgia-Auburn series, and it brought back a lot of nostalgia.
Right.
I had seen Frank Sinkwich and Charlie Trippi and Racehorse Davis and Bob Koshner. I'd seen them all play, and I've had season tickets for, 70 years, I guess.
70 years?
I think so. I've had them ever since I graduated from college, 1955. How many is that?
Well, that was 66 years ago.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to this game Saturday in Auburn. It's always been a fun game, and it's always been an interesting game, and I look to that happening again. I do want to take 1 second, Paul, to commend you on your patience. You've had Leo back-to-back today, and your restraint is admirable. It's not a quality that I'm known for, but I do want to mention that to you, that I think that's one of the qualities that you've got that keeps me posted, is maybe I can learn something from you.
Well, Guppy, I've done the math on your age, so I think you've learned quite a bit in your, I'm guessing, 90 years or more. But I will say this to you, because I feel like I can talk to you as an elder. I need help in the future with Leo, and I'm going to appeal to physicians or pharmacist, because I don't think I can handle that call without medication tomorrow. And I'm just trying to find the best medication that I can take that will calm me down but also get me to the end of the show.
Well, I will be glad to offer. I'm a retired attorney, and I'm afraid I caused more bedlam in my life than I caused.
I can imagine you as an attorney. Wow.
If I can help you anyway. I do admire you, and I want you to know that at my age, I've had a lot of experience, and there's a lot that I don't admire, and there's a lot that I do admire, and you on the list.
Well, Guppy, thank you so much. What a pleasure to visit with you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You got it. 91-year-old Guppy, as we have done the math. What do you think? I don't want to legal drugs. although I could be forced into going to them. But is there something that you could probably nothing over the counter, is there? No. Maybe I can get a prescription for something that will keep me calm during an intolerable conversation. Let's talk to Joseph next in Mississippi. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Good evening.
How are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you. But I was just going to say I was wrong. You were right that Alabama did beat the Rebels by 3 touchdowns. But you said it could be 3 or 4. But what I was going to say is I was going to ask you, what do you think our chances are for on the table? I mean, beat Arkansas pretty well this coming weekend and do pretty well. What do you think those chances are, and what should we do by chance of, I mean, I know Matt Corral hasn't thrown an interception yet, but do you think he's still in the Heisman running?
Well, I think it depends, Joseph. He's a great player, and I don't think he did anything in that game that would hurt his chances other than Ole Miss lose a game, and sometimes we tend to hold that against the quarterback. But if you look at Ole Miss's next 8 or 9 weeks, I mean, there's not a game on the calendar. I think that they'll be either an underdog or certainly they won't be a decided underdog. So I think they'll be favored in pretty much every game from now on. But that depends. The first game that's a must is Arkansas. I think that they can manage Arkansas. And then, you know, where will the trouble be? There's some unknowns in the SEC West right now. But I think Arkansas will be I think they had the two toughest games back-to-back.
I think you're correct on that, but also LSU. I mean,
LSU is the most mysterious team in the SEC right now. I think LSU could win almost any game other than Alabama. And I'm talking SEC play, and they can certainly lose every game as well. I mean, I know that sounds pedestrian to say, but they're impossible to figure out.
And it's hard to figure those out because, I mean, just like Mississippi State, like, where'd they come from all of a sudden?
Well, Mississippi State has, let's be honest. The team they beat last Saturday night is a pretty bad team right now. I think they'll be better. And NC State is, they get a lot of attention for beating Clemson, but that's not a great team. I'm not taking anything away from Mike Leach's bunch. I mean, that was a huge win from a program building standpoint when you go into College Station, but it was not a monumental upset. Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Mike, who is out in Texas. Hey, Mike.
Well, Paul, why don't you say what city I'm in? That's College Station.
College Station, so, Texas.
Yes, sir. So we talked about, and I've been holding for 40 minutes, so give me a minute, Paul.
Sure.
I got good news and I got bad news for you. We're going to start with, I went to see a customer today, and I thought I was seeing your twin brother.
Oh, my goodness.
From the side, it was Paul Feinbaum. Awesome.
Mike, he must have been very attractive.
He was, brother. So
I knew it.
Let me say this. So I'm an Aggie, of course. I was number 29 in my family to graduate from A&M. My daughter's a freshman. I married a Longhorn last week.
Wow.
So if I can marry a Longhorn and be happy, A&M can beat Alabama Saturday night. I'm going to be there. We're going to scream, yell, holler, do all that. And ESPN needs to remember, we have 8 starters that are injured.
Yeah.
Our quarterback, 2 offensive linemen, our defensive back. The touchdown that number 16 did for Arkansas, the guy covering him is the one that's having season injury surgery this last week.
Mm.
So he was injured when he played. So we need to realize that. Now, my next thing, Paul, is we talked about a month ago, and we both agreed that the quarterback that we had last year, we didn't like him. Boy, do we need him right now.
Yeah,
huh?
All those criticisms of Kellen Mond, we will excise that from the record. Well, you have a great time Saturday night in at Yale on Friday, and we are heading to a break. couple more guests to come here on a Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mentioned that Michael Eaves will join us in the next hour, the well-known Sports Center anchor and big UK aficionado. We'll talk to him in about 40 minutes. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Alexis is up next. How are you?
I'm great, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
We are doing great, Alexis. Thank you very much.
I had called... I live in Alabama now, but originally from Kentucky. I was Michael's high school English teacher for 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Had him as a junior in academic junior English and in advanced placement senior English. I just wanted you to give him a message.
Yes.
So proud of him, proud for him. Michael is from a small, small town in western Kentucky, and he has just done marvelous, marvelous things. He was a wonderful student, wonderful person, came from a great family, and I'm just really, really proud of what he's done. And please pass that along to him.
We certainly will, Alexis. Maybe we can even play this call for him when he joins us, because I have a feeling, knowing Michael, he would be overjoyed to have heard from you.
Well, he has lots of fans in western Kentucky.
Well, thank you, and we will share that with him when he joins us in a couple of minutes. So you be well.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Alexis. That was fantastic. I really appreciate it. Swami is up next. Hello, Swami.
Well, hey, big guy. Hey, Paul. Just go ahead and admit you have a total man crush on Jim Harbaugh. I mean, just go ahead. I'll wait a few seconds and let you just, explain that.
I've already admitted it.
Paul, you said a couple of days ago, who's the best third place team in the SEC? And I got to admit to Swami, I don't know who you got.
It's impossible to know right now. I think the winner of the Ole Miss-Arkansas game joins the competition. Florida is still to be determined. Kentucky, with a win Saturday, joins that conversation as well. I mean, right now, I'd probably go Kentucky.
I don't know, Paul. But finally, Paul, I love Iron Man, and I love Jim Tuscaloosa. And both of them are Hall of Fame callers. But really, Paul, both are basically the same type of callers. I mean, both of them don't talk ball. I mean, they never talk ball, And this is a call-in, sports talk radio show. So that's the only beef I have with them. But love you, Paul. Have a good night.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, there's no requirement what you talk about here. You just need to call. Thanks for the call. Blake is in Georgia. Hey, Blake, good afternoon to you. Blake, you there?
Yes, sir. Hello. How are you doing?
Blake, we are doing great.
I'm very excited to be on your show. I really love your show.
Thank you so much.
So, what did you think about the Kentucky-Florida game Saturday?
Well, Blake, I was really – I mean, I think we're all obsessing over over Florida and what they did wrong. I don't think anybody's giving Kentucky much credit. I mean, they made some critically important plays. They stopped Florida at the end of the game. They made that field goal block, which was critical to the outcome. I mean, without that, there's no telling where the game would have ended up. So I'm really impressed with Kentucky. I think they're extremely well coached, and Florida did, you know, played a part. They did everything they could to screw up their chances, and they ultimately succeeded.
Yes, they did. How many SEC teams do you think will be in the playoffs this year?
Well, Blake, I think there's a really good chance we will see two in the college football play. If you be well, take care of yourself. Texas and Michigan, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Paul. What is it, Pauly Positivity today?
It's starting to run out of gas, but maybe you can bring us back.
Yeah, hello. I for the first hour and 20 minutes I was on hold, I was listening to people from all over Louisiana and Alabama and the South, and I started craving that crawfish and jambalaya and gumbo, and then you talked about your Tennessee whiskey to wash it down, and that gummit, you had that A&M caller call in, and that just ruined it. Anyway, I am calling to ask your opinion on Texas and Oklahoma are moving to the SEC, and we all know that's a big rivalry game. It's a nationally televised game this weekend, second weekend in October, every year. With all the big games and big rivalries in the SEC currently, is this showdown going to lose its muster? Is it going to lose the excitement and the passion that we have with this game in the Big 12 once we come over to the SEC?
No, because of this reason. It's a standalone game. It's not like any other conference game. I mean, right now, it's not hard to understand why you differentiate that from an Oklahoma game at Iowa State. Now, the Oklahoma State game is really important, but Texas lost A&M when A&M was part of the Big 12. So you had that. You had the game in October, and then you had the end of the season. You had Bedlam, and then you had the game on Thanksgiving weekend. But I don't think it will change. I think there will be other big games. Now, every time Alabama comes to Texas, it would be big, A&M, Arkansas. But to me, that game is unique. I think it's one of the top five rivalries in college football. It's one of the few rivalries that is still played at a neutral site. And I don't think anybody is going to be less interested in going to the state fair on that second Saturday in October because both teams are in the SEC than they do now. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We are coming back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We do the most insane stuff on this show, and I feel like this may be our most insane show yet.
Yeah. If you've seen some of our shenanigans so far, just imagine all of it maybe in one show. Still a lot of football to talk. I was at the Missouri game last week. I was at the Tennessee game.
You were at the Tennessee game last week.
I was at the Tennessee game last week. Very impressed by what Tennessee did.
Were you expecting that? Because I will say, you had the noon game. I had the 3:30, and we were up in the press box at Williams Bryce. I was at South Carolina Troy, and I think it was halfway through the second quarter, we looked at the scoreboard, and I was like, I'm sorry, is that a typo?
Right.
We couldn't believe, like, we thought that it could maybe go one way or the, but like, not like that.
Well,
we thought it'd be closer than that.
I definitely thought it would be closer than that. Like, prepared stories for the starting lineups of both teams. And I mean, Tennessee, the first six drives, they scored touchdowns. And then the seventh drive, they kicked the field goal, right? Like, they were relentless in the run game. I was impressed. You know, I didn't expect it because Tennessee's offensive line has been banged up.
Yeah.
Hendon Hooker, we weren't sure what he was going to look like after going down against Florida. He looked great. The offensive line looked stout enough for Tennessee to just run down the middle of the field. I mean, for Tyon Evans and his performance, this is something for Tennessee to build on for sure.
My favorite part of that Evans long touchdown was the offensive lineman behind him who threw the hands up before he was even like 50 yards out of the end zone. One of the best things I will say, though, and I'm sure you will see this week, you mentioned all those stories.
Yep.
You probably didn't get to use a lot of the Missouri stories, but you will this week.
I know, because you're going back. Exactly. I'm going back to Missouri this week, so that's going to be great. But you know, Tennessee and South Carolina play each other, which we will get into in the show. Actually, we're going to get after each other a little bit, so just be prepared for that.
It's going to be interesting.
All in good fun. Mm-hmm. But what did you see from your Gamecocks?
Yeah, so I was at South Carolina last week, and there's a lot to clean up, right? I think Shane Beamer and the entire coaching staff would tell you that. And that's something that going into this season, so many Gamecock fans just working here and being an alum of that university would always ask me, what are we going to look like? What's it really going to be? And I've always said the patience word since Shane Beamer got there. I mean, it takes time in the SEC to do what some of these coaches are trying to do. And a lot of these new coaches, whether it's second year, first year guys, are probably looking at a guy like Sam Pittman going, why would you do this to us?
Right.
Like, look what he's been doing in his second year. So a lot to clean up for South Carolina. But I was encouraged because Troy took them down to the wire. And that's an easy game if you're not bought in to just lay down and go, whatever, I don't care. Right. And, you know, at the end of the day, we talk about wins and losses. And it matters what you do on the football field. But at the same time, you know this from your playing career, from covering ball so far, it's really easy to tell when a team is bought in or bought out.
Yep.
And that team is bought in, which gave me a lot of encouragement moving forward. I am a little nervous about this weekend, though, after Tennessee put 62 on Missouri.
Correct. You know, it's funny that you say things, you know, take time and kind of coming and getting together, right? Kentucky football kind of put it together, right?
Yeah.
You talk about them finally getting that win over Florida. It's been so long. They face LSU. We talked to Will Levis. We're going to talk to Will Levis today. We're going to talk to Marcus Spears
today. We're going to do more than talk to Will Levis, too, by the way.
No, you're going to do more than talk to
Will. Well, we'll see how you feel when we get there. Most Kentucky fans probably know by now Will Levis will eat anything from the banana
or
peel.
Or drink anything.
The latest mayonnaise and coffee. And I don't know why. I said on Twitter after BBN just hounded me about the mayo coffee thing that I would do it if they beat Florida.
And then they went on to beat Florida. So you made your bed. You can lie on it. I'm not having any part of it. I'm going to say that right now. Lang is going to drink coffee.
Hopefully with Will.
Hopefully
I'm going to force Will to do it too because I'm not sure he did it the first time.
I think he should definitely do it. Yeah. We'll get him to.
We're gonna have to see.
Maybe Spears will do it.
No, I doubt that. We'll see you tonight on Out of Pocket.
Hey, welcome back. Final couple of minutes of this hour, and it is really good to have all of you with us. Let's check in with Randy in Texas. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Randy, we're doing great.
Well, sorry I missed you last Saturday. I was hung up in a tree in a climber. I only went 10 feet. It took me 2 hours to get down.
It's that time of the year, huh?
Yes, sir, it is. This LSU is about to make me own stock with Maker's Mark.
That's not a bad company.
No, it's not. I enjoy it. But, man, I don't know what is – I'm like you said earlier, you don't know what you're going to get.
Well, one thing you'll definitely get is inconsistency. That's a guarantee.
That is for sure. And, by the way, how's your brother Urban Meyer doing these days, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I was having dinner with him about a week ago, and he said, I need to run into the bar to see somebody, and that's the last I've seen of him. Have you heard?
You were sitting there waiting on him, wasn't you, out in the car?
Yeah, I thought I saw him walk out, but my eyesight's a little bit fuzzy at night after a few Maker's Marks.
Yeah, there you go. That guy is cancer. I don't know who in God's name would ever hire him again. He's poison.
He really is.
In my eyes.
Totally agree.
I mean, I totally agree. But I think the SEC, like you said earlier, I think it's Alabama and Georgia and then everybody else in college football.
Well said. Thanks so much for the call. Roy is up next in Florida. Hello, Roy. Roy, are you there?
Hello.
Man. People are watching television, which is what we want you to do. But the problem is we're not always on the same time frame. Let's try Major next. Hey, Major.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Major, we're doing great.
Hey, I just called to ask, man, you know, with the previous years of the LSUs and the Alabama high-power offenses, You think Georgia is on the verge of proving this year that defense can still get the job done?
Yeah, I mean, I heard before the season it was a new era. It was all about scoring points and defenses didn't matter. But this Georgia defense is better than anyone I've seen in a long time.
Exactly. Well, pretty much, that's all I got to say pretty much, Pa. I couldn't think of nothing else to ask you, but sure, it's good to be on your show. You have a good one.
Major, thank you very much for the call. We got a couple of seconds here. Let's go to Bama Nick.
Paul Finebone, the mouth of the South. How you doing today, Paul?
Bama, we are doing great. What about you?
Well, I'm doing fine. I'm still on this side of the dirt. I just want to say what a great show, and I like John Talte when you had him on there. He was great.
John's fantastic.
Yeah, he is, and I like him. He tells it like it is. Look, Paul, I want to talk about you had a great call with Jim Tuscaloosa. Of course, our man was babbling on, couldn't understand anything he said. It was like Daryl from Columbus.
Boy, you think about that. Daryl versus I-Man. What a debate that would be.